Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We've opened the phone lines for you at 1-800-677-9377. Again, that's 1-800-677-9377. We are here live every day for one reason only, to receive your phone calls and address your questions with the Basic Gospel. There's a question or something you'd like to talk about, call right now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. Remember, it's your phone calls that fuel this broadcast. Take advantage of the open lines right now. 1-800-677-9377. It's your invitation to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it. Believe it. Live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. One of the verses that Paul writes in Romans 5, I think, is one of the most concise statements of the gospel in the entire Bible. It's Romans 5:10. If you study your Bible frequently, if you memorize passages, this is one to memorize. Star it, underline it, make it a part of your life. And here's what it says. For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? So in this verse, we see the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. His death reconciles us back to God the Father. His life actually saves us. We were dead spiritually. We needed life. Jesus' resurrected life makes us alive in Christ. And then he goes on to say, not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Once you receive Christ, the reconciliation is complete. You are brought back to him in your own mind. You're experiencing peace with God and a relationship with God. And that's something to rejoice about. And you can do so regardless of the trials and tribulations that you might be experiencing right now. If you're saved, no matter what life is throwing at you, you always have reason to rejoice. You always have reason to be joyful. Why? Because you've been reconciled to God. That's what you long for more than anything in life. And in Christ, you have it. So rejoice. And as Paul wrote in Philippians, rejoice always.
Always. That is Basic Gospel. And friends, this is Basic Gospel. 1-800-677-9377. Time on the clock. Plenty of open lines. Want to hear from you. That's why we're here. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Jeff, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Jeff.
How you doing?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
Are you a Cardinal fan or a Wildcat fan?
Oh, I'm a Cardinal fan.
Okay.
Just checking.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about the 20th chapter of John, when Christ said, whose sins you forgive are forgiven, and whose sins you retain are retained. What is that? Reason I say that is because a lot of Catholics, they believe, like, the priest, when you go to confession, that's where they get that from. And I know it doesn't really mean that, what they're thinking.
Well, you're exactly right. It doesn't mean what they're thinking. I'll just give you a hot sports opinion on this verse. I think it's the poorest translated verse in the Bible as far as translating it from the Greek into the English language. I think the NIV does a horrible job of translating this, as well as many of the others. And the reason I say that is this. If you read it, John 20, verse 23, if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Well, sins, what most translators kind of look at is that they feel like sins is implied in that second half of the verse. If you do not forgive their sins, they are not forgiven. That is a poor conclusion. We don't have the power to forgive or not forgive sins as far as God is concerned. Only Jesus, only the shed blood of Jesus can forgive sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So I think what Jesus is really doing here is giving the disciples the authority to carry the gospel to whomsoever. So they can go to anyone, just as you and I can go to anyone and say, God is no longer counting your sins against you because of the reconciling work of Jesus Christ through his shed blood on the cross. God the Father is not counting any sins against you. Also, because of his resurrected life, we can take hold of you for this life everlasting that is available to you in Christ. So I think it's saying, you know, sins have been sent away so that God can take hold of a person for life everlasting. I think that's what this passage is talking about. This word to retain, it's, you know, the same word Jesus uses in regards to Mary at the garden after he was raised. You can't take hold of me now. And I think that's what he's saying, that this gospel message remits sins, sends them away forever, so that God the Father can take hold of us for salvation. And I think that's what Jesus is saying. I give you the authority to take that message out into the world. That's what I've equipped you to do. So go and take this message out there.
That's what I thought it was kind of saying, but I just didn't know how to, you know, describe it like that.
I think the Catholic tradition has shaped kind of the translator's thinking on what this verse should say. But I don't think the way most English translations render this, I don't think it's accurate as the way it is in the Greek.
Yeah, and also, is there any like ministries around the Louisville area that kind of go along with you all?
Well, let me do this, Jeff. I've got a lot of friends there in Louisville. I lived in Louisville for a couple of years and started a Bible study years ago, and I would love to be able to connect you with some of those folks. So let me put you on hold, and we'll get some information from you, and then we'll see if we can get you hooked up with some people there I know, okay?
All right, thanks.
Hey, thanks for your call, Jeff. Great question today.
Yeah. Okay, Thanks, Jeff. Plenty of open lines, 1-800-677-9377. Indeed, this is Basic Gospel. We want to hear from you, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks. Richard, do you have anything to add on that?
Well, I can just confirm it for you. The NASB, for example, shows the word sins in italics, which means it doesn't occur in the text, in the original text. And so they're making a guess. This is the problem with translation by committee. And if you think it would be better to be translated by an individual, the problems are even bigger there. So they did their best, and I think they got it wrong.
Yes.
And, you know, you go on. Yeah.
Well, let's go to Melvin in San Francisco, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, Melvin.
Hello, how are you? I have this question. Are we supposed to have apostles now?
Well, apostles you know, John or Paul or those guys or Peter or James? No.
Yes.
They were a unique group of people. They had a particular role. They were with Jesus. They saw him baptized. They saw him crucified. They saw him raised. To that unique group, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is going to take the things of my life. He's going to bring those back to your remembrance so you can write them down as the Spirit moves you to do so. So they took the message of Christ and they gave explanation to it. But once that role was complete, once they had done what God's Spirit had moved them to do, then that role as an apostle, as they carry it out, ended. There are no more apostles bringing new truth, new revelation to the table. Everything has been revealed to us, as Jude wrote, that we should contend for the faith that has been once for all delivered to us. Well, who delivered it? The apostles did. And now that job has come to an end. Now, in the generic use of the word apostle, it simply means one that is sent. And certainly there are a lot of people that God sends out into the world to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. But that's completely different than the function and role of those 12 apostles.
The capital A apostles.
That's right. That's right. Does that make sense to you, John, Melvin?
Yeah, it does make sense to me. But I started attending this church, and they have these, you know, teachers that I don't agree with them. And they have an apostle, and then I don't know, should I keep going there or just, you know, I don't know. Just don't like the way they...
Well, Melvin, obviously you have a red flag, and you're not seeing eye to eye with the leadership there. So you have two options with that. Go and sit down with the leadership and ask the question. You know, I hear some things that are disturbing or don't seem to line up with the Word of God. Can you explain what you mean by that? And I think if you have a conversation like that, you hear what they mean, then you have more information on which to base a decision, whether I'm going to stay or whether I'm going to go. But if somebody's claiming to be an apostle, somebody's claiming that they have special connection to God that you don't, I think that's a huge red flag. If I'm in your shoes, I turn and run pretty fast.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thank you, guys. Thank you. God bless you.
Hey, thanks, Melvin. Thanks for your call today.
Yeah, plenty of open lines for you to come in and be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel, 1-800-677-9377.
Yeah, God's given us a spirit of discernment, hasn't he, Richard?
And, yes.
There are a lot of times we just ignore it. I've had numerous occasions in life where I've had caution flags just being waved right in front of me. Sometimes they were just really bright red lights, and I ignored them and suffered greatly for that, but because I didn't exercise that spirit of discernment. I think if you have a caution flag waving in front of you, God's putting it there for good reason. So heed that. Take note. Go into the Word of God and see why that flag is being waved, and I think you can make your decision accordingly.
Yes.
Well, let's go to Elizabeth listening to us in Massachusetts. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
Well, I'll base it upon the immediate. My son just went to be with the Lord in September.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Are you doing okay?
I believe I'm doing fairly well, that God is holding me up. And through my faith and trust in him, I believe he is my strength. But what I want to say is, I believe when someone goes to heaven, does their soul go with them? And also, what about their spirit? The spirit.
Yeah, well, Elizabeth, you know, once somebody dies, the body, you know, is buried or, you know, today cremated or something like that.
Yeah, whatever.
But
that
was just the dwelling place for the soul and the spirit. And
yes,
once somebody dies, once the body dies, the soul and the spirit just go to be with the Lord if they're in Christ.
So the soul and spirit also automatically goes too. Is that correct?
Yeah. As soon as a person's away from the body, they're at home with the Lord.
Yes,
if they're in Christ, you know, so.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So if your son was in Christ, and I'm assuming that's the case, that the very moment that he breathed his last breath, he just left that body and went to be at home with the Lord. That's good news, isn't it?
Yes, it is good news.
And
that's what lifts me up, and also how God used him in his life.
Yeah. So
he worked with special needs people over 24 years since he just turned 17 in Rhode Island. Yep.
So,
and God placed him there. He shed his light, believe me, when I tell you. It was just, in many ways, miraculous. Yes.
Well, Elizabeth, you have a lot to take comfort in. Not only the life that he lived here, but the life that Jesus Christ gave him. And
yes.
You keep clinging to that truth. That's what enables us to
continue
go through
on.
This, not like
yes.
the rest of the world. We don't have to grieve like the pagans do, so Scripture
yeah, I know.
Says. We can really
you know
take
what I'd
comfort.
Like to know, do you believe that possibly, say my son Joe, that God, I'm asking you because I'm not sure, that possibly God does have other work in heaven for our family members?
Well, Elizabeth, here's what the Word of God has to say. It doesn't really speak of kind of this time
yes.
when we're going to be with the Lord. It
yes.
just simply says we're going to be with the Lord. But it does say that Jesus is going to return and that when he does,
yeah.
all those who are with him will come back with him and
yes.
that we will rule and reign on this earth. So our eventual dwelling place is right here on this newly created earth in this city called the New Jerusalem.
Yeah,
and
I know,
we will have a life there, and certainly we'll have responsibilities and things that we will be able to carry out in day-to-day living. So
yeah, I guess that's what I was kind of trying to put in order without, you know, knowing exactly how.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of information on that. We just have a few verses here and there. So
yeah, but that sounds like it's like you're putting it together, kind of in the best order by faith, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Well,
sounds exciting.
Indeed. Well, Elizabeth, you keep trusting the Lord. You keep. Clinging to his goodness, his grace, his promises. Allow him to comfort your heart through this. You're going to have some, you know, really good days and some not so good days. But God's presence is always there. Yes.
Yes, because of the separation.
Yes.
But I appreciate your program. I listen to you as always, every day, you know. And keep trusting God. Refuse not to believe in you. Continuing on doing his good works.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth.
Yeah,
let me put
you
on hold, and we'll get some more information from you, and we'll send you some resources that I think can be a help to you at this time.
Yeah, that sounds truly good.
Okay. Thanks, Elizabeth. Thanks for your call.
Yeah.
You hold on.
Glad she was able to call today and just kind of get a little bit of encouragement, because those are tough things.
They are tough things, and we all need encouragement, yeah. don't we? And it's the Word of God. That gives us that encouragement, and we're so thankful to have this opportunity through radio, through the internet, to deliver, to give out words of encouragement as revealed in the Bible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's go to Pat in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Hi, Pat.
Hey there. How are you, gentlemen?
Oh, we're doing well. How are you?
Doing good. I know your time's probably running short, and I don't have the greatest cell signal here, so I'll talk quickly and then hang up and listen to you, if that's okay.
Okay.
But first, you being a Louisville guy, I've got to say, go Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, neither UK nor Louisville. So,
those Hilltoppers, man, they've got good basketball there and good everything. So.
Yeah, it's a neat place. Your discussion with Elizabeth kind of was in the direction of one of my questions I was wanting to go into, and I'll keep it to one because I know your time, but I was telling your call screener, my question was along the lines of, and again, I'm driving and I don't have a Bible to read for an exact passage, but about how Jesus will come and judge the quick and the dead, and I'm sure you probably had this question before, but does that mean that everyone who is deceased, you know, before now or since he was here before, has not been judged and is not with him yet? Or, I mean, is that not going to happen until he comes back? Or, does that make any sense, that question?
Well, it does, and it's a good question. Certainly the word judgment, we're always wondering about judgment. What does judgment mean? And the way we think of judgment, it's normally in negative terms. When we're getting judged, we feel like that's a bad thing. But that's not always the case with that particular word. There's going to be a coming judgment on the dead. The book of Revelation speaks about that. Several other books in the Bible speak about that. That's when the wrath of God will be fully revealed upon those who refused to receive Jesus Christ as both Lord and Savior. Their eternal destiny is separation from God. And there's going to be a judgment. They're going to try to plead their case. They're going to make the best case possible. But in the end, it's going to be revealed that their hearts are rebellious and they want nothing to do with God. And so he is going to allow that to happen. They're going to be eternally separated. So that's the judgment against the dead. Those who are alive in Christ, there's going to be another judgment. It's called the Bema Seat Judgment or the Bema Seat Judgment. It's where we go to have our works appraised. Did they advance the kingdom of God, or were they just fleshly works? Those fleshly works will be simply burned up, and the rest remains, and we will be rewarded for that. But with any of those rewards, we'll just simply turn around and lay them down at the feet of Christ Jesus.
Okay, so the quick and the dead is more of a reference to those alive and dead in Christ.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. All right. And the last thing, if I can ask this, and then I'll hang up if you don't mind it. I know you may have other callers, but as far as he who is first, or he is who's last on earth is first in heaven, and I guess vice versa, that can't somehow pertain to degrees of heaven, can it? And I'll hang up. And thank you, gentlemen, for your time. I appreciate it.
You are welcome, Pat. Thanks for your call.
Yeah.
Are there degrees in heaven, Richard?
No. You're either saved or you're not saved.
It's just as simple as that, isn't it? And we all get there the same way. It is by grace through faith. I mean, we were dead, and now we're alive in Christ. That's the gospel message. And so we all stand together as equals, brothers and sisters in Christ. All of us have been given every spiritual blessing in Christ. All of us have been given everything we need for life and godliness. And so we'll all be together singing praises as one to the Lord Jesus Christ for what he accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. We, you know, our legalistic minds, we want to put degrees in heaven. We rank sin. We do all of that. But we just can't do that in Christ.
No.
Absolutely. Well, thanks to everybody, including Jeff, Melvin, Elizabeth, and Pat, for being a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. We are here every day, and we invite you to be here also. For your support of Basic Gospel in any amount, we have an excellent 3-CD series for you. It's called Profiles in Character by Bob Christopher. In the series, Bob shows that sometimes in life, the most unlikely of people prove to be the true heroes. Through 3 specific stories, you'll see the secret to experiencing genuine contentment in life, the importance of being thankful, and how to make a difference in the lives of others. It's Profiles in Character by Bob Christopher, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your CD series, call 1-800-727-2828 or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net or 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. We also invite you to join our email list by clicking subscribe in the upper menu at basicgospel.net. You'll get late news about the ministry, upcoming events, and information about new products and resources to enhance your understanding of the Christian life. So click subscribe when you visit basicgospel.net. If you like what you hear on this broadcast every day, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at basicgospelrdo. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the very same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.